There was another remarkable round of tweets from President Trump this morning. He blamed what he calls the fake news media for the uproar over the chance of send her back at his re-election rally in North Carolina this week about Somali-born Congresswoman Ilhan Omar of Minnesota. But in fact, it was some Republicans who told the White House that the chant has no place at Trump rallies or in American politics. Our Friday Politics Roundtable joins us now. Kimberly Atkins is senior news correspondent covering politics for WBUR. From Washington, D.C. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi there.
And Meg Kinnard is national politics reporter for the Associated Press based in Columbia, South Carolina. Hi, Meg.
Hi.
So let's remind folks, I mean, the week began with these racist tweets from President Trump telling four congresswomen of color, known as the Squad, to go back where they came from. The congresswomen are all U.S. citizens. Three were born in the U.S. Ilhan Omar is a Somali-born refugee. And then at a Trump rally Wednesday night, his supporters echoed the president's tweets with chants aimed at Representative Omar of send her back.
Omar has a history of launching vicious anti-Semitic screeds.
The president the next day disavowed the chants by his own supporters, saying he was, quote, not happy with their chants. Kim, to you, I mean, the president said he attempted to stop the chants, which is pretty much contradicted by the video of the rally. I mean, is the president trying to have it both ways here?
Yes. I mean, you could hear in that clip you just played that not only did he not try to stop it, he paused to give it effect and let it crescendo and didn't continue speaking again until it had stopped. So that clearly isn't true. And yes, yesterday, after several Republicans expressed their concern about the rhetoric, the president did briefly at the White House sort of seem to walk them back, said he didn't agree with the chants. But already by this morning in these tweets, you saw him essentially praising the big crowd that he had and blaming the media for the whole thing. So he's already starting to walk it back. If you recall,
he's already walking back the walk back.
Right? The walk back. Exactly. And it reminded me of Charlottesville when he initially came out with a statement and then later walked it back, the condemnation of that rally, and that's when we got the very fine people on both sides.
Interesting. Meg, reportedly Republicans, including Vice President Pence, senior members of Congress, the president's own daughter, Ivanka, a senior White House advisor, you know, put pressure on the president to disavow the chants. This is an unusual moment. How worried are some Republicans that all of this could backfire?
I think that you're absolutely right in saying that there is concern among Republicans that this is something that they do not want hanging over their heads going into the 2020 election cycle, whether it's for the White House, whether it's for all of the congressional seats that will be contested in that election. This is not something that they want to continue to be a distraction. Vice President Pence meeting with Republicans this past week has expressed concern over this whole issue. And, you know, according to people who were in that meeting, has talked about his own concerns that this will be a problem for the party going into next fall. You know, honestly, though, the Republicans that I talked to here in South Carolina, a very conservative leaning state, they're not as concerned about all of this as we might see on Twitter, as we might see in, quote unquote, the bubble in D.C. and otherwise. You know, they understand that a lot of this is going to be part of the conversation. This is something that, you know, does come up sometimes when the president has a rally, whether it's this issue or something else. There will be something that kind of can tend to explode. And, you know, they really just kind of get that, you know, this is something that happens. It has a couple of news cycles, but they're really not worried that it's something that will be hurting them moving forward.
Not as worried in South Carolina, but Republicans, you know, are in some states hoping to raise the profile of these progressive Democrats, as we said, known as the Squad. They hope it will help, you know, the GOP in the 2020 election. Here's Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on the Fox Business Network yesterday about Trump's strategy.
He's right about the Squad wanting to turn us into a socialist country. What he should have added, however, is it's a lot broader than just the four of them. So I think the president's on to something. We're having a big debate now and next year about what we want America to be like.
Kim, to you, I mean, is McConnell sort of raising, you know, what's going to be a major theme of Republicans in the 2020 race?
Absolutely. I mean, from most of the Republicans here in Washington, those who would speak publicly about those chants and the comments that the president has been making about these four members of Congress have been trying to steer the narrative that this is about the policies, this is about what these four members of Congress represent, and they want to make them the face of the Democratic Party by using words like Leader McConnell, using the word socialism and using that as sort of a brand to brand the Democratic Party. You saw other people like Senator Lindsey Graham take it a lot further, essentially saying that they hate this country. That was language that the president took up. The attempt is to make these four women, and not at this point whoever the Democratic nominee for president will be, the face of the Democratic Party in an effort to gin up support and galvanize the Republican base.
Well, we should know Representative Omar was welcomed home by cheering supporters in Minneapolis yesterday, and she said this about President Trump.
And when I said I was the president's nightmare, well, you're watching it now. Because his nightmare is seeing a Somali immigrant refugee rise to Congress.
Meg, to you, I mean, are Democrats in some cases more unified than they were last week because of all this?
In some ways, yes, but in some ways, no. You know, going back to earlier conversations that were spawned after the president's initial set of tweets very early this week, you know, this is something that Speaker Pelosi was having to deal with within her own party, saying publicly in interviews that these four congresswomen only represent four votes when it comes to issues taking place on the House floor. But let's remember, those four congresswomen also have a combined millions of followers on Twitter. So they do have a somewhat amplified microphone and megaphone when it comes to getting their message out. And they are very aware of that. That's something that all of them, especially Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, ran on, awareness of their availability and the sort of amplification that they have of their message. So this is something that the Democratic Party is having to deal with, and that the speaker has been continually having to address this past week. So this is not just a problem within, you know, the Republicans trying to figure out what side of the issue that they land on. But as Kimberly just said, this is kind of that hero villain narrative, right, that we've seen play out before, that the president is trying to utilize a Democrat. In this instance, it's four Democrats. It's Representative Omar, perhaps, in particular. But it's kind of crowd testing that message when he gets in front of his thousands of supporters and seeing what resonates with them. And some of them in North Carolina this past week kind of took it on their own and began that chant. And I'm not exactly who started it or how or why. But, you know, he's sitting back. He's seeing how that kind of plays out. And then perhaps today and yesterday, walking that back and perhaps trying to soften it a little bit after speaking with advisors or someone else.
And Kim, it's not just, you know, folks in D.C. that are concerned about it. There's a story in today's New York Times about Democratic governors worried that some of the party's candidates are starting to embrace policies that could be seen as unrealistic and politically risky, such as eliminating private health insurance, decriminalizing illegal border crossings. I mean, there was a column by Tom Friedman in the Times saying, you know, spare me the revolution, talking about the squad, you know, let's focus on jobs and unity. So I'm curious your take. How much angst is there in the Democratic Party on the governor's side about this?
Yes, you do have people, particularly state and local folks who are not in Washington, who are not a part of the Democratic caucus, who have expressed concern about both some of the policies that the more liberal members of Congress have pushed, or and also, frankly, some of the more liberal presidential candidates have pushed, both the policies themselves and the perception that the Democratic Party is moving much farther to the left much faster than they feel it's happening on the state and local level. So that is one level two. But I think even here in Congress, among the Democrats that I've spoken to within the House, I think there is more of a I don't want to say consensus or unity in general, but less antagonism toward the more progressive members of the House than I think is sometimes expressed. I think you are right that these four members of the House do have a very outsized megaphone in their reach and in their following. And of course, obviously, Speaker Pelosi has that large platform as Speaker of the House, and it seems that there is this big clash. The vast majority of Democrats that I speak to say, you know what, I would rather be in a party that has different ideas and are sort of battling out, exactly hashing out which of those ideas make it at the end of the day, but are all collectively trying to solve problems like healthcare and immigration reform and housing and education. And rather than being a part of the party that is uniting behind a president who is using really divisive and racist language in order to advance his agenda. So I have heard more, I've heard less rancor. There are some, a minority of people who are getting very frustrated with these lawmakers, but I think it's less than people might be hearing.
Lots to watch. We've got the Democratic candidate debate at the end of the month. Kimberly Atkins is a senior news correspondent covering politics for WBUR. Thank you, Kim.
Always a pleasure.
And Meg Kinnard is national politics reporter for the Associated Press. Thank you and have a great weekend.
Thank you. Happy to be with you.